Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and our study is Understanding Scripture, Part 1, The Truth Our Faith is Built On. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 19, Salvation is God's Work. Welcome to the doctrine of salvation. In theological speak, soteriology, from the Greek word soter, to save or to deliver. Every Christian should be familiar with the doctrine of salvation. It's the message we've been commissioned to share with the world. And it's the only message that brings lost people into a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. First, we need to consider our need as human beings. Because Adam and Eve sinned against God, all of us are born with a sinful nature. By our very nature, we are predisposed to sin. God's Word makes this very clear. In Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Sin is universal. Everyone is born a sinner. We sin primarily because we're sinners. We are all born with a natural bent toward sin. What are some of the consequences or realities of sin? Well, sin separates us from God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, spiritual death. Before the fall, Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. But after the fall, their fellowship with God was broken. As a result, all of us are born out of fellowship with God, with a sin nature. We can't solve our sin problem. There is nothing we can do on our own to get back to where Adam was before the fall. Of course, people have tried. Just be good enough. The Bible tells us we cannot be saved by works. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, first part of that verse. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Paul clearly tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Our sin condemns us before God. Again, the wages for sin is death. God's punishment for sin is death. Ezekiel chapter 18, in the latter part of verse 4, says that the soul who sins shall die. God is righteous and just, and that means He must punish sin. To do less would be inconsistent with His character. As a just God, His justice demands full payment for our sin. But 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that He wants to save sinners. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Second, consider God's provision for our problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God initiates and completes our salvation. It is His work alone. There are two things about salvation that we need answered. First of all, why did God save us? Well, it's simple. He's merciful. Psalm 103, verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He's gracious. God's grace is undeserved. Because God is merciful, He offers us salvation. So, why did God save us? Well, because He's merciful. Second, how did God save us? Well, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's justice demanded a sacrifice to pay the price for our sins. Only a sinful person could pay that price and be an acceptable substitute for us. That's why God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Because He was sinless, He was an acceptable sacrifice for our sins. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. "And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." When He died on the cross, He died in our place and paid the penalty for our sins. The cross is central to understanding of salvation. It was necessary for Jesus to shed His blood on the cross. Otherwise, the demands of a holy God could not have been met, and we would have no hope. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness. Matthew 26:28, as He instituted the Lord's Supper, referring to the cup, Jesus said, "This is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, "To Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." We cannot escape the words of Jesus Himself. He said that He is the only way to God the Father. This means that Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, and all others who failed to put their faith in Jesus Christ alone have no hope of heaven. Jesus said in John 3:18, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Paul affirmed this in Romans 10:13. "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But the question becomes, how do we receive this gift of salvation? While freely offered to all who believe, what is the process to receive His grace and become a Christian? So that brings us to our third point. Consider our response to God's offer. The Bible gives us some clear instructions for responding to the gospel message. Repentance. The Bible says we must repent of our sins. At Pentecost, Peter called the crowd to repent and be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And on Mars Hill, in Acts 17:30, Paul told the Athenians that God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance simply means to stop going one way, turn around, and move toward God's plans. Turn away from your sins and move toward God's plans. Repentance is not a popular concept today. People want to go to heaven without having to change who they are. They want to simply add Jesus to the many other things in their life. So repentance and faith. The Bible tells us we must be saved through faith. Faith means to believe. It means you put your trust or confidence in someone or something. For us to receive the salvation of Christ Jesus, we must abandon any hope we might have in our own goodness or in our ability to get to heaven on our own merit. And we must put our faith, our confidence, our trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. So what happens when you trust Him? When you repent of your sins and place your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says you become a new creation. You're given spiritual life. You are born again. The theological term is regeneration, which simply means that you are made new in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Once God gives you spiritual life, you keep it for eternity. When you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He begins a process of growth and spiritual development in your life called sanctification. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The gospel message is simple. We're sinners, and our sin separates us from God, condemning us to hell for eternity. But God loves us and sent His only Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus made it possible for all who will place their trust in Him to have their sins forgiven and receive eternal life. All you need to do is believe by faith and place your trust in Him today. You give that some thought, and you have a great day.